Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Good morning. Hello, everybody. How's 10 o'clock? 10:30. Did any of you realize it's 10:30, actually? Good morning. Everybody doing well? Hey, guess what? Today is another first in the life of our church because we're streaming this service not only online, so welcome online to all of you who are joining us online, but we're also streaming directly via live link directly into Edenvale right now at this time, which means that they're going to check all the back of your heads. So that's why we've seated the short people up front. Silly little hobbits. Linz, please stand for us quickly. Just Linz will stand. No, stand, Linz. Please stand. Stand. Hobbits in the front, tall ones at the back. That's how we like to see it. So today we're going for the first time ever live stream into Edenvale. So one message being received at exactly the same time. And it's another first for our church. And we're always future minded. We're always looking at how we can develop into the future. And so welcome Edenvale. Give them a, come on, turn around and say, how's it? Welcome Vale. Good to have you with us. And I hope you are having as much of a jewel as what we are this side. What we intend to do is to be able to stream from Edenvale into Boksburg and from Boksburg into Edenvale. And so we have the technology right now to be able to stream into Edenvale, but it won't be long before we'll be able to stream from the Vale back here to Boksburg. And first service at Edenvale said that they absolutely loved it. It felt like I was in the room as we were preaching, obviously live praise and worship going on there, but then straight into the message. And it feels like, you know, people watch, how many of you agree? We live on our screens anyway, don't we? So many of us, we are on our screens almost all the time anyway. So for us to be watching a screen almost feels like it's quite normal these days. So sometimes what we'll be doing is we'll be live preaching like Kulu and Cole. Didn't they do an incredible job over the last couple of weeks? Thank you guys so much for a fantastic words. Cole and Kulu, you got Kulu's in the Vale at the moment. Cole's in Move Forward. Sometimes we'll be alternating preachers. So I'll preach one message in Boksburg and then move across to Edenvale the next week and vice versa. Sometimes we'll stream live from Boksburg and later on from Edenvale. So the whole church, both locations, get the message at the same time. Sometimes I'll pre-record a message in the week and play that at one or two of the services and preach it live at some of the campuses. But aren't you glad that we got the technology? Aren't you glad that we live in 2022 where we've got the technology to be able to do what we do? And as we raise the team and as we've got a fantastic team at Thrive, a fantastic team of communicators, it just opens up so many options. And so we're already dreaming of our next location and where that will be. And so we're trusting God for that. Hey, are you ready to pray? Edenvale and Boksburg, come, let's stand together. And listen, I had this on my heart from the first moment that I woke up this morning. I really, really believe in some stuff went down in the 8:30 service. It was really beautiful. I really believe that God's giving us an open heaven over today. And by that I mean that there's like a little glimpse of heaven that you and I will experience today through His Word. And sometimes, you know, it's amazing. We can look for something experiential. We can think, oh, it can only happen in praise and worship, or it can only happen if there's long drawn out worship. But sometimes God can give us a glimpse into heaven just when His Word lands in our hearts, just when it actually just goes boom like that. And so we're really trusting and praying for that this morning. Have you got faith for God to speak to you? Yeah. You know what I mean by a living word? It's like it's one thing to just preach and to hear, but it's another thing when that word actually takes root in your life and it lands in your heart and it does something for us. Are you with me? So come, if you want to, if you feel comfortable, let's lift our hands to heaven as we lift our hearts to heaven. And let's trust the Lord to form us today. Father, in these moments, thank you that we can be online in Edenvale, in Boksburg. And we can come together as one church. Not a location, but an identity. Not a destination, but a community. And we pray that you would speak a living word. And give us an open heaven, Father, over what we speak about today. May your word land. And may we be formed into the people of God today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Please have a seat and feel free to do that in Edenvale as well. How many of you would agree with me that memories are powerful things? Yeah. Memories are powerful, aren't they? Would you work with me a little bit this morning and just come with me on a bit of a memory journey? And I'm going to ask you to think back to some of these memories in your own life. Think back with me, if you wouldn't mind, to your wedding day if you're married. Now, in the first service, some guy said, "I cried that day." He shouted out in the service, "I cried that day." And there went tears of joy by the sounds of it. Anybody celebrating a wedding anniversary in August? Raise your hands quickly. Any brave souls got married in August? No, August is not the month for getting married. Think back to the birth of your child, those of you who've had kids. Can you remember that moment? You know, it's like, it's a big moment. I can remember the moment Caitlin was born when she came out. I'm like, this is just, it's just too overwhelming. You know? Think back to the first friend that you had at school. Can you remember their name? If you can remember your friend's, your first friend's name, raise your hand. Yeah, lots. My first friend's name was Trevor, but I thought he said treasure. So I came back to my mom and dad and said, "How's your first day at school?" I said, "It was great. I met this guy's name's Treasure." They're like, "Treasure? Are you sure?" I went back the next day. I said, "Hey, is your name Treasure or Trevor?" He goes, "No, Trevor." I'm like, "Okay." And it seems like I've been friends with Trevors ever since. It's weird, eh? Trevor Coleman, Trevor Hudson, lots of treasures in my life. I'll never think back to memories at school. Think back to an epic memory at school, good or bad. Maybe it was an embarrassing moment, like a worst moment. I'll never forget one that when I was thinking about this came to mind. Our school was in Cape Town. We had a cricket match set up against Bishops. Now, Bishops is a very fancy school in Cape Town. Oaks pay lots of money to go to Bishops. We were from the pleb school, and we would travel to Bishops. They had tea and biscuits like we've never seen in our lives. We just used to have those Baker's mini biscuits, you know those things? Bishops had Chelsea buns. Anybody remember Chelsea buns? Yes. You can still go to Satellite Bakery, by the way. Chelsea buns at Satellite. Anyway, I digress. Anything about food, you see, I get excited. So we were playing cricket, and it was late in the afternoon. They batted first. Now we were into bat. And for some reason, my coach promoted me to bat at number 3. And I don't know why the idiot did that, because it didn't turn out to be a good move at all. So I come in at number 3. Wicket's gone down early. I come in at number 3. Number 3 is a prized position. For all of you who are not cricket fans, it's like the jewel in the crown of batting, man, number 3. So anyway, I walk in, and I take guard. And I'm going through the motions mentally here, you know. Got a nice square elbow, you know, which is elbow up. Nice onside. I'm nicely balanced. My weight's feeling nicely balanced. I'm feeling like I'm really, really focused. And the guy runs in and he bowls, and it's a gently swinging outswinger and a kind of pitched middle stump. And I try to play at it and I missed it, and it took out my off stump. Out the ground. Yes, I was celebrating. Golden duck. First ball, guys. First ball. First ball. I looked down to see what had gone wrong, only to realize that I was holding my bat the wrong way around. I was so nervous. I'd come in number 3. It was the first time ever. I hadn't even bothered to check that my bat was the right way around. My teammates, I mean, I never saw the end of it. Can you think about memories like that? Can you think about where you were the first time you heard a particularly epic song that means a lot to you? You think about that? You think about the first time, or maybe your first date, or your first kiss, or the first fragrance that you ever smelt on a woman? You remember that? I can remember Charlie. Charlie was his name. Did any girls here wear Charlie? Because you're going to bring back memories of my first girlfriend, Charlie. Memories are powerful, aren't they? You know what memories are? Memories are glue in our relationships. Memories are glue in our friendships. Memories are glue in the relationships that bind us together. So much of our relational world is bound up together in memories. Remembering is a powerful part of what it means to be human. Remembering is to be human. To remember, when you and I remember like that, That is what it means partly to be human. A big part of our lives is our memories. Think about your friendships, your relationships. Maybe you've got an old friend that's been a friend for many, many years. What's the major thing? One of the major things that binds you and keeps you together? It's your shared memories, isn't it? I think that's what makes a disease like Alzheimer's such a devastating disease, because the person's still with you, but they're not with you in terms of the memories that you've accumulated with that person. And so that's what can make it so hard. And so not only are memories part of what it means to be human, but remembering acts as glue in our friendships and in our relationships. And it's that word friendship that I want you to latch onto now. And let me make the statement. Remembering is a big deal to God, because God knows that remembering acts as glue in friendships. It's part of what keeps us together. Remembering matters so much to God, in fact, that the word remember is mentioned 240 times, church. Did you know that? 240 times in Scripture, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word remember is used. It's a massive deal to God, because He knows that so much of our friendship with Him, so much of our relational life with Him, has to do with us being people who remember who He is and what He has done for us. There's this time in Scripture where Israel are on the brink of what is known to them as the Promised Land. It's the land that they're about to go into and inhabit. It's a land just across the other side of the Jordan River. So they've come out of the desert of Egypt. They've traveled now. It was supposed to be like a 10-day journey. Ends up being a 40-year journey. And they've come to a place where they're on the brink of the Jordan River. And they're now ready to come across the river. This will be the second time that God parts waters for His people. And as they are on the brink of this, Moses charges the people. He says to them, listen, before you cross over into this next season, into this next era, I want to remind you, and God reminds the people through Moses, to remember. When you're across the river and when you're in the Promised Land, remember, don't be people who forget who I am and what I've done for you. So let's read the text together. It comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not what? Forget. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey His commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. When you've done well in your career, and you've got a big bonus, or you've got a promotion, or you've got set up for the next move, or you've built your business and now your business is successful, remember who gave you the favor. When you've built the house at the Val and got the boat, remember who got you there. Remember that no man and no woman is a self-made anything. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that He led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from a rock. He did this. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. And He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. Everything God does is for our own good, isn't it? He did all this so you would never say this to yourself, I've achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. There's the key for today. Because the title of the message today is Remember. Remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. In Hebrew culture, remembering was not the same as our individualized Western, largely Greek understanding of remembering. When you and I think about remembering now, or when we hear the word remember, what goes through our minds straight away is our brains, isn't it? But for Hebrew culture, for Jewish people, remembering was not an act of memory, it was an act of the heart. It was an act of lifestyle. It was something that God formed in his people. Remembering was something sacred that he developed in his people. And so not only did God bring them out of the promised land, into the promised land, but he then began to institute all of these annual reminders in the life of Israel so that they would become people that remember. So for example, there was an annual festival. It was called the Festival of Shelters. They would all build shelters. They would come out of their homes for a few days and build shelters like branches and leaves and build shelters like you're watching the TV program Survivor, like that kind of vibe, right? Why? So that they would remember the time when they were in the desert and they were dwelling in temporary shelters. God instituted something called the Sabbath, which is a day of rest once a week. Why? So that we would remember through an act that he rested. We would remember it. The Feast of Pentecost, it was another annual feast. Everybody would come up to Jerusalem. It was there to commemorate. It was there to bring together the nation of Israel and say, guys, remember when God gave you the law on Mount Sinai. Remember that? Well, here's this festival to help you remember. The Jewish understanding of remembering is very different to our individualized Western, largely Greek understanding. We remember with our minds. They remember with their hearts. And so when God says remember, what he is designing and intending and desiring for us is that we would become people that remember too, not only with our hearts, but with our lifestyles. Not only with our minds, but with our hearts and with our lives. That we would become people that build into our day-to-day life remembering. The Hebrew word for remember used so often in the scripture, the Hebrew word, it's an incredibly powerful word, is called zakar. Zakar. Z-A-K-A-R. Zakar. It sounds like an epic word, doesn't it? Like, I think it could be a movie word. Like one man whose name was Zakar. Like that. Like, what was that 300, the hero in 300? I can't remember what that dude's name was. But his name should have been Zakar. Like, it sounds epic. I think anybody who's about to have a boy should name their kid. In fact, if you want Amy and Kulu to name their child Zakar, raise your hand right now. We see those hands. In Edenvale, we see those hands. We see all of your hands. Zakar, Z-A-K-R, Zakar. It means to remember, but it's an act of remembering. In fact, I described it this way. It's deliberate attention. Deliberate attention. Let me explain the difference between remembering with your head and remembering with your heart. There were once two men. One was called Kulu, the other was called Hein. They were both married to wonderful young ladies. Kulu is married to Amy, Hein is married to Kristen. Both of them have wedding anniversaries. One remembers it with his mind, and one remembers it with his heart. One does remember like we understand it, one does zakar, like Hebrew remember. Because Amy's here, and we want to make her feel good, Kulu's going to be remembering zakar. And Hein, who's running the stream in Edenvale right now and is in Edenvale and is listening to my words right as we speak, remembers like Greeks, like Western, like you and I. So, Kulu remembers their wedding anniversary with 18 beautiful long-stem red roses. He remembers the anniversary with notes thoughtfully written throughout the day. He remembers with dinner at an exquisite restaurant just at the Westcliff Hotel overlooking the spring flowers. Because their anniversary is in September, so the jacarandas are just starting to bloom. That's how Kulu remembers. Kulu Zakars. You with me? Not here, here. Kulu remembers through doing. Kulu remembers through actually taking action. That's active remembering. Are you with me? You getting the difference? Hein, on the other hand, he's only been married less than a year. So when his first anniversary comes, he doesn't quite know what to do yet. He remembers like we remember. He remembers, in fact, he remembers his wedding anniversary like he remembers his times table. 1 times 2 is 2, 2 times 2 is 3, 3 times 2. Just in his head, and he doesn't say anything to Kristen the whole day. He just remembers it like he remembers the score that Arsenal, when Arsenal played their most recent rivals. He remembers that score. It's in his head, but it never finds its way out. And so Hein goes the entire wedding anniversary day remembering that it's their wedding anniversary, but he remembers in his head, not in his heart, and it never comes out. Which of the two men will be happier at the end of the day, would you suggest? Are you with me when it comes to what it means to Zakar? And so when God says over 240 times in Scripture, remember, it is to Zakar. It is to take time every day, weekly, monthly, annually, to take moments to write, to think, to pray, to read Scripture, to get on your knees, get on your knees, lift your hands, to bring out your journal, to write down what God is. It is to list your blessings. It is to remember what He brought you through. It is to take a prayer and praise card and write it out and say thank you. It is to phone a friend and say, I just want to tell you, God has been so good to me. I was chatting to somebody after our first service in 8:30. He said it's a year today since his sister passed away from COVID. And it's a year today that he remembers how sick he was of COVID himself, and he remembers that God brought him through. Not here. Here. To remember. To Zakar. Right? Why don't we remember? Why don't we? So why do we become people that forget so easily? Do you feel like that? Like I do? Sometimes I'd be so easy to forget. You drive over another pothole and you think, God, it's so easy to forget that I'm in a car. You with me? It's all about perspective, isn't it? I think there's a clue in that same passage in Deuteronomy, if you wouldn't mind going to the opening verse, guys, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Check it out with me. Verse 11. It says, but that is the time to be careful. And then what does the next word say? Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God. I think there's a key there. I think a big part of how we forget. Forgetting is not a memory problem. Forgetting is a spiritual problem. I think a big reason why we forget and take for granted and go through life and forget to thank God for it, and why we don't remember, is because sometimes when we're comfortable, we can forget God. I think sometimes when we're comfortable, we can just forget Him. When we don't need God, we can easily forget God. When we don't need God, we can easily forget God. Isn't it amazing that in the 1920s, in fact 1929 onwards, churches in America were full. You know why they were full? The Great Depression had just happened. People needed God. So the churches filled up because people realized, I don't no longer have plenty. Isn't it amazing that during COVID, so many people turned to God? And while some people left churches, so many more flocked to God. Why? Because they realized all my support systems and structures, all my presuppositions, all the things that I thought were in place can come tumbling down in a moment. And then what do you have? Zakar. It means to remember. But it doesn't mean to remember. It means to remember. Are you tracking with me? Everybody okay? Thinking about Sunday lunch yet? Some of you are going, well, I wasn't, but now I am. Who's having oxtail for lunch? Huh? I'm just checking whose house I'm coming to. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, Zakar. What are we remembering? Second Hebrew word we're going to learn today. And there's only two, don't stress. The word is called chesed. If you want to clear your throat, you say chesed. If you want to just be British about it, you could say chesed. Chesed. H-E-S-E-D. You said chesed. This is... I've been wondering about what tattoo I should get at one stage in my life. When I'm 70, I want to get a tattoo. I want to get it when I'm wrinkled already, so that. You understand? All you actually got tattoos when you're young, you've missed the boat. You've got to get it when your skin's dropped, then you get it, and then it's lekker. This is a word worth getting tattooed. Hesed. It's been translated, that scholars have tried to find 160 English words. 160 words, English words, have been ascribed to this word in an attempt to try and translate this word. But no English word quite does it. In essence, it is the loving kindness of God. It is the goodness of God. Hesed is the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering of God, the thoughtfulness of God, the extreme kindness towards us of God. Hesed is what's brought you to this point right now. Clothes on your back, seated in an auditorium in 2022. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what life has dished you up, you have been and I have been recipients of the chesed of God. The faithfulness and the goodness and the kindness and the loving kindness and the thoughtfulness and the mercy and the grace and the touch and the blessing and the favor of God. I don't know how your life looks at the moment. I don't know whether you consider yourself to be in a blessed season or in a struggling season. What I do know is that if you would take a moment to look back on your life through all the ups and the downs, you would know that the chesed of God has been present in your life to bring you to this point. Amen. Maybe I could read it to you from a guy called Daryl Bock. He said this, Hesed is wrapping up in itself all the positive attributes of God. Love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty, in short, acts of devotion and loving kindness that go beyond the requirements of duty. Maybe Isaiah 54:10 will give you a little bit of a glimpse of it. And the scripture says, for the mountains may move and the hills disappear. Right, so the good may come in life and the bad may come. The catastrophic may come our way. But even then, my faithful love, in brackets, chesed, for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. I think when we become a people who remember Zakar, what do we remember? the chesed of God. I think we live in much, much, much different and better ways. I think for the man and woman who devotes themselves to becoming a person who remembers, those people live with unshakable confidence. Those people trust God in deeper ways than ever before. Those people live with a steadfast hope for the future. Those of us who remember the chesed of God, we live in faithful ways because God has been faithful to us. Those of us who remember the chesed of God, we live with a constant sense of gratitude on our lives. We live with a freedom that comes only through surrender and dependence on God. Those who remember the chesed of God, they delight in God. They delight in Him. They fall in love with Him. They trust God. They live in gratitude towards Him. They are people who live differently. Today, the title of the message, as I said, is Remember. It's so much more than to remember. It is to remember. It is to zakah. It is to every day to do something, to speak something, to pray something, to get on your knees for something that God has been good to you. But it is to be people who remember the chesed of God. Church, I hope you walk away with three words today. Remember. Number one. But don't just remember. Remember. Right? Zakah. That's word number two. And what are we remembering? Chesed. The goodness of God. And now we come to remember the most profound demonstration of the chesed of God, the goodness of God, the loving kindness of God. We come to remember Jesus' giving of His life for us. And all throughout August, I don't know if you've noticed, but normally we would do communion once a month. We've done communion every week in August, and we'll continue that next week as well, because we are, in our August monthly practice, we are remembering, we're focusing on remembering. I just think, guys, people who remember live better than people who don't. And so we come to this moment where we remember Christ's death on the cross. Maybe there never will be an English word that can describe chesed. Maybe the only thing that will describe chesed for you and I is to look at Jesus. Because He is the physical representation and manifestation of chesed. And when He hung on a cross, nailed to the cross, when He hung there, God was demonstrating in a way that we could never replicate it, His chesed towards us. And so today we're going to remember communion together. As we do so, we're going to read from Luke chapter 22. It says, Jesus, as He sat down with His disciples on the night that He was going to be betrayed. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then He took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then He said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God comes, or the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do you notice something, church? Do you notice how Jesus understands this Hebrew concept of zakah? He understands that remembering is not a mental exercise. Remembering is not a cerebral thing. Remembering is not a one dimension of our life. Remembering is both mental and emotion. Remembering is head and heart. Remembering is something that moves from your head to your heart and then out to your world. And so people who remember are people who hold a cup and they hold a wafer and they say, I remember Jesus, what you did for me. And I don't remember, I remember. And I eat and drink because I remember. I remember. We need reminders. We need physical reminders to remember. I always look at Kulu's phone. He's got a scripture on the back of it. He's always got like a different scripture going on the back of it. Because how many times a day do you and I look at our phone? Gazillions. Every time you look at the back of it, there's a scripture. That's what it is to Zakar. To remember. And Jesus said, do this. He didn't say, think this. He said, can I invite you to remember the Lord? In your life, in your Monday to Saturday. Remember Him in your prayer time. Remember Him in your journaling time. Remember Him when you're on your knees. In fact, carve out time to be on your knees. Carve out time to have silence and solitude. Carve out time to breathe deeply. Carve out time to write and remember and to jot down and to put your prayers and your answered prayers together and say, God, you have been so good to me. Surely the chesed of God has pursued me all the days of my life. And Jesus went on and he said, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for many. And so today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to Zakar. Remember. Head and to heart and then to hands. Communion team are ready and they're going to begin to hand out the cup. For those of you who are new with us today, we want you to feel welcome. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus, you're most welcome to have communion with us. There'll be a little cup that's handed out and you'll notice it's got grape juice and a wafer in it. Please hold on to it and we'll have it together. After the song, the team are going to lead us in a beautiful song. After the song is finished, I'll come up and we'll take together. But Josh and the guys are going to sing a beautiful song for us. So I invite you to read the lyrics. Let them wash over. Sing them. Don't spectate. Participate. It's a beautiful song. It's called Remembrance. Enjoy. Thank you.
we praise you, Jesus. You've been so good, good to me. Remember the sacrifice this morning. Oh, we exalt your name. We lift you up. We lift you up. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
So today we come together as a church, one community in three locations, online, Edenvale, Boksburg. We come together in this moment. We take the wafer, symbolizes Jesus' body. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, broke it, said, "This is my body broken for you." We take it, and as it breaks in your mouth, we zakar. We remember. We don't remember, we remember what he did. So come, let's take and eat together. Then we take the cup. Symbolizes Jesus' blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. The only agent on planet Earth, the only substance on planet Earth, the only thing that could wipe away our sin where we've blown it. Just think of the wonder of Jesus' blood. And as it dripped down from the cross, how many would have walked by and not known what kind of blood this was? But even in the days of Abraham, when he said to his son Isaac, "God will supply the lamb," in that moment, Christ on the cross was the supplied lamb. Takes away the sin of the world, your sin and mine. And like a giant blackboard, just erases everything that's been bad, been terrible. And not only does it once in the past, but it's a present continuous atoning work. Isn't that mind-boggling? Hey? So when we drink this, this is not some grape juice. We are casting our minds back 2,000 years ago to the blood that dripped off the cross of Calvary. And we are then fast-forwarding to our lives today and reminding ourselves that this blood, accompanied by the Spirit of God, is what sanctifies us, what makes us set apart, what makes us forgiven. Let's drink together. Church, I'm going to ask you just to stay in this moment. Hold on to your emblems. Don't worry about where to put them. They'll come and get collected now. Don't stress. Hold on to them. I'm going to ask us to take a moment. Not only did Christ's death on the cross, was it a spiritual healing, but it also was for physical healing. And very quickly, we won't take long with this, but if you need healing in your body, I'm going to ask you, Edenvale, if you're not standing at the moment, would you be kind enough just to stand with us right now? And as you do so, anybody in Boksburg and Edenvale who just needs a touch, a healing touch on their body, shoot up your hand right now where you are. And those people that are next to you and near you, just put your hand on their shoulder. You know, church is not a destination. Church is a community. Church is not somewhere we go to. Church is who we are. And so right now, we just pray. Come on, pray for somebody near you. You might not know their name. Probably don't. But let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we know you work through medicine, you work through science, but we also know you work miraculously, you work supernaturally, and your supernatural hand of healing and your touch can be upon us in a moment, in an instant. Jesus healed those who were brought to him in a moment and in an instant. Father, we've got faith for that this morning. Right where you are, right now, Father, would you heal in Jesus' name? Heal. Bring healing, physical healing. I pray that discomfort would be erased. I pray that disease would be stopped in its tracks. Really sense that quite strongly for somebody here. It might be for a couple of people that there's a disease, but it will be stopped. Like its progression will be stopped, halted, like literally blocked. Sense such a strong sense of that right now. Father, we thank you for testimony after testimony that will come from this moment right now. And as we're praying, those of you who've had your hands raised, thank you. You can take them down. I'm going to ask for us to stay and every head bowed, eye closed. Every head bowed and eye closed. Let's take this moment and give God space to do what he wants to do. I want to give you an invitation this morning to follow Jesus. If you have never made a decision to follow Jesus before, or perhaps you have some time ago, but now is the time. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. I'll do a quick count to three and then I'll say, slip up your hand. That is so that I can see you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm just going to see you, acknowledge you, say thank you, and then ask you to put your hand down and I'm going to pray for you. Right where you are. We do this as a community so that we ask you to raise your hand so that we can see you, because we believe in being a people who see other people. And so if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or as I said, maybe you did some time ago, but God's doing something in your life right now. I'm going to ask you on the count of three. There'll be people raising their hands across this place. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and I'll see you and say thank you. Ready? Here we are. On the count of three. One, two, three. Hands up across this place. Thank you. So many. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, so many. Thank you. Edenvale, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep them up. So I want to make sure I see every single one. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Let me pray for you. Those of you who are standing with a raised hand right now responding, I want to offer you some language. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your love. Jesus, thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for the cross. God, thank you that you sent Jesus, the living proof of the goodness of God, the chesed of God. Thank you. Thank you. Right now, I make a decision to open my life to you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to write a new slate with my life, a new story with my life. Those of you who've responded and you've had your hands up, I'm praying right now that the Holy Spirit is going to fill you right now. He's going to fill you with joy, with peace, with grace, with a lightness. It's going to be burdens that are lifted. Anxiety will be lifted. Depression will be lifted. The heaviness that's on you will be lifted. There'll be a peace that comes into your heart. You won't be able to understand it, explain it. It's the Spirit of God. And then the next time we have a baptism service, which is coming up soon, you're going to be baptized. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.